After Hours here on 96.5 The Fan. Logan Weber alongside JT Noah. Somebody in the text line said, with the way the Chiefs have invested in the interior O-line, I think drafting Omarion Hampton, running back from North Carolina, makes a ton of sense. He looks very much like a Derrick Henry clone. I mean, that's a tall compliment. I think he would be a really strong fit for the Kansas City Chiefs and that inside zone scheme that they run. I think it could be fascinating to watch. I don't know. Somebody said, hey guys, love the show. So if you draft Luther Burden, what about Matthew Golden? They're nice. And do you still pursue DK Metcalf if you take a wide receiver? Matthew Golden's not going to be there at 31. Not after the performance he put together at the combine. He's probably late teens, early 20s, maybe. At the lowest, I would say. With the production that he had, with the 40 that he put together, the show of explosiveness that he's got at the receiver position, he'll get taken early to mid first round. In terms of the DK Metcalf thing, I don't think DK is going to get, I don't think the Chiefs will, I mean, maybe a little bit, right? They may kick the tires, but I don't think they're going after DK regardless of if they take a receiver or not. So that's kind of an interesting question there. I appreciate you chiming in. Somebody said, did Hampton get you aroused? Hold on a minute. Hold on a minute. Nobody's getting aroused, all right? It's a family-friendly station. Chill out. Somebody in the text line said, Chris Jones worked out so hard at the combine, the way that they phrased it was wee-wee fell out. It was only a matter of time, talking about the NFL Combine. I knew it was going to happen eventually. Somebody was going to mention the Chris Jones NFL Combine 40-time snafu that occurred. So I appreciate that.
Gave his A effort right there, boys.
Yeah, he gave it his all, for sure. Yikes. All right, After Hours, 96.5 The Fan. Again, our number, 913-586-7965. Coming up at 7:30, Jordan Foote is going to be joining us. He's been a writer covering the Kansas City Chiefs and the Royals for many, many years. We'll be talking to him about what the latest is with the Kansas City Chiefs and what we may see here coming up in the next few months in the lead up to the NFL draft and free agency. It's going to be an interesting timeline here for the Chiefs as they're looking to get back to the mountaintop and win the Super Bowl after losing it about a month ago now in Super Bowl 59 against the Philadelphia Eagles. Speaking of the Eagles, they have now inked a long-term extension for running back Saquon Barkley. Barkley signing a two-year, $41.2 million contract extension, which will make him the highest paid back in NFL history. That according to ESPN's Adam Schefter. Of that $41.2 million, $36 million of it is guaranteed. Not only is it guaranteed, it's guaranteed at signing. So he's going to be
making
36 of the 41 is going to be put out when he signs the deal. So he'll be getting about more than $20 million per year. He has the ability to earn another $15 million on this deal because of incentives and other escalators embedded within the contract. Can't say I blame the Eagles for this decision. I mean, absolutely, you want to keep a guy like Saquon around for the long haul, especially after he just broke the NFL record for rushing yards in a season, regular season and playoffs combined. He was phenomenal, and he was a big part of why you were able to win the Super Bowl. Not because he performed well, but because the Chiefs' defense was so hyper-focused on stopping Saquon Barkley that it opened things up in the passing game and allowed you to have a lot of success there offensively. Reward your man. Absolutely reward him for the season that he put together. Saquon Barkley's not going anywhere. He's going to be in Philly for a while.
Yeah, he deserves it. And I've been on the advocate of, hey, do you pay running backs? But when it's like Derrick Henry and Saquon, those are like the top tier echelons where you're like, you've got to pay them because they're going to make your team a whole lot different. And it also goes to show that Saquon changed the whole atmosphere for Hard Knocks. I mean, you don't see an NFL team taking Hard Knocks now because the Giants look like a bamboozle circus out there because of what they were saying with the cameras on.
Yeah, it's a interesting ordeal. Interesting ordeal to for sure. So Saquon's sticking around in Philly for the next 2 years. Another bit of NFL news, surprised nobody, but we got the official word today. The New York Jets cutting ties with Devontae Adams after, you know, a few weeks ago, they cut their ties with Aaron Rodgers as well. Now, here's what we're also hearing. On top of the Devontae Adams being cut, the Jets are also allowing Alan Lazard to look for a trade partner. So they're seeking a trade right now, Lazard and his team are, for him to be dealt away from the Jets before March 12th. So they got like a week to figure out where Lazard is going to land. But more than likely, he's also going to get cut. So where do we go from here? He was due $38.3 million to count against the salary cap for the Jets this next year, which was the highest in 2025 for all wide receivers. That included $35.6 million in non-guaranteed base salary, which is the contract that they picked up from the Raiders when they traded for him. So they are clearing some $30 million in cap space by cutting Devontae Adams, which more than doubles their current salary cap situation. So a big move there. Now the question goes to, all right, where's Devontae Adams going to land?
Do we see a reunion with the Packers? Because they need a wide receiver. I mean, let's just put it out there. They've been activating for a wide receiver. DK was rumor. Now you can go get Devontae Adams. I know he's on the older side, but hey, you need somebody out there to catch some balls for Jordan Love.
Right, right. I mean, especially because we don't know what Christian Watson's situation looks like. He tore his ACL at the end of the year. Will he be available by the start of the season? Romeo Doubs had a couple of different injuries throughout last year, mostly head and neck injuries, concussion type issues. So if if bare minimum, it gives you another weapon, it also gives you a veteran who can mentor, guide young receivers with promise like Romeo Doubs and Christian Watson. So, I mean, it's an intriguing possibility for sure. It goes along with Josh Jacobs, who said during Super Bowl week that the Packers need a, you know, veteran number one type wide receiver.
Do you think he does maybe another where he waits till Aaron Rodgers signs to sign with a team? Does he want to play with Aaron again?
I don't think so.
I wouldn't, but I mean.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. I wouldn't, but that's because I'm a certified, I mean, no joke, like I've got the badge in my computer bag, certified Aaron Rodgers hater.
Okay.
That's me.
That's all good.
Not an Aaron Rodgers guy. So the Packers are certainly a possibility. They're a fit. CBS Sports put out an article. The Packers were the first team listed. They also mentioned the Pittsburgh Steelers as a possible option, somebody to pair alongside George Pickens. Question for the Packers is who's going to play quarterback, or Steelers, who's going to play quarterback then?
It sounds like it's going to be Fields. They said, I saw an article that said Fields is more likely to be the starter than Russell is.
Well, they're both free agents right now, so I don't know. They don't have their starting quarterback on the roster right now.
That is a true statement, yes.
Does Russell Wilson, of course, everybody is roping him with Pete Carroll in Vegas with the Raiders, that reunion of guys, but I know that Rodgers has talked about the Giants. The Steelers are always a possibility for him to land in Pittsburgh. I don't know. I think that's going to be fascinating to watch. Of course, big news today with Sam Darnold not going on the salary cap or not going on the franchise tag. So he's going to be a free agent. Do the Pittsburgh Steelers try to throw a big bag at Sam Darnold? Cause he's the best quarterback, free agent quarterback in this group. So that could be interesting. They have the Washington Commanders listed here.
See, I would take them off since the trade for Debo, but
I don't know. I mean, they had them on this list. They've got the Debo Samuel trade in the article and say that maybe they go after him anyway. The Denver Broncos are listed as a team that could make a run at him to pair with Cortland Sutton. The Los Angeles Chargers, obviously. But I think the Chargers would look more closely at like a Keenan Allen reunion, potentially, or a wide receiver in this draft, right, in round one. I don't know. There's a lot of intrigue there with what Davante Adams could end up doing. And where does Alan Lazard land, right? What trade partner does he end up with?
What if Davante goes to New Orleans? Like, go with Derek Carr. They liked each other over in Raiders. The Saints don't have many wide receivers out there, so the Saints can maybe...
Chris Olave and Rashid Shaheed, both who were really good last year before injuries kind of plagued them.
I see Rashid more as a slot receiver than an outside guy, so I would put Davante on the outside, put Rashid in the inside, and then have Olave on the other side.
Something tells me the Saints aren't going to be super aggressive in free agency.
I'm just saying a sleeper.
For the sake of, for the last 20-plus years, they have been in cap hell,
yeah,
and they still got to figure out how do we maneuver themselves out of cap purgatory.
You know
where
who's not going to sign him?
Who?
The Chiefs.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the Bengals.
Fair. That's also fair.
Because they don't want to pay anybody.
No. I mean, they're already paying a lot. I mean, the Bengals don't want to pay anybody, but the Chiefs are already paying a lot, and they got other stuff that they got to get figured out for sure. And based on the conversation we just had with Chris Unocero, it sounds like there's going to be some wide receiver options available for the Chiefs if they want to go that route during the NFL draft. 913-586-7965 is our number. Dan and KCK said, "Hi, Logan, do you see Cooper Kupp going to the Steelers?" No, I don't. In fact, I could potentially see a road where Cooper Kupp goes back to Los Angeles.
Yeah, I was about to say, I don't think he gets traded.
Yeah, I think he ends up right back in L.A. because nobody wants to pay that contract. Cooper Kupp's a great receiver when he's healthy, but he hasn't been healthy. And he's in his 30s now, which... it's hard for you to be in your 30s and still getting top flight money as a wide receiver in this league. I just don't think that the Rams are going to find an adequate trade partner for Cooper Kupp. So I think he props himself right back up at SoFi and is a wide receiver option for Matthew Stafford and the Rams week one. An 816 said he just jinxed himself. He'll be injured by week two. I'm assuming that's in reference to Saquon Barkley. Isn't that what happened last year, right? Like Christian McCaffrey had that great year with the Niners and then missed most of the season with an injury. I could see it. I could definitely see it. Somebody in the text line said, "I've seen a lot of off-season needs lists with the Chiefs saying we need a, quote, contested catch guy. Why? Why not draft the best wide receiver on the board rather than such a niche archetype that doesn't pan out very often?" And I understand what you're saying. I don't disagree. I am one of those people that say I would love to see the Chiefs go after a sort of a bigger bodied wide receiver. It's something that the Chiefs haven't really had in their offenses in the Andy Reid era. I mean, Sammy Watkins was what, 6'1", 6'2", and he's just about the biggest every down receiver the Chiefs have had. I think it would be fascinating to see how you could pair a guy at 6'4", 6'5", or even 6'3", 6'4", 6'5", with Xavier Worthy, who's a smaller wide receiver with a ton of speed, and Rashee Rice, who is definitely he's a catch in traffic, short and intermediate route kind of guy, more of a slot receiver type, and a lot of his route tree, I would say. So I think that it's intriguing. So I don't know. But I agree with you, right? I mean, if there's a 6'3", 6'4", 6'5", receiver in that area and it makes sense for you to draft him, sure. But I would, if you're sitting there at 31 and Luther Burden's available, yeah, take him. Take the best wide receiver on the board if there is a top flight receiver that you have a really high grade on, rather than reaching for a bigger guy because you think it's going to be an intriguing fit, obviously.
Would you be okay if they said, let's just move back, we don't like what we see on the board, and even if Luther's there, they just say, hey, we'll trade back, let someone else come up and get it and get an extra second round pick possibly?
Possibly, but I don't see, if you trade out of 31, you're probably trading for an early second round pick and probably a fourth or a fifth from a team at best. I don't know how much that changes things for you necessarily, but then maybe, you know, you look at it, okay, we've got 2 5th round picks now. Maybe we pair those and try to move ourselves up into the middle portion of the third round. And then that's when we go get the running back and whatever else. I don't know. It's always hard for me to picture trading out of round one, especially when you're late in round one to begin with. But I think it's a possibility for sure. 913-586-7965 is our number. Continue to send us those text messages. Absolutely love reading those on our program here tonight. We've got a few here that I want to get to on the other side of the break here. Coming up at 7:30, though, we're going to have Jordan Foote on with us to talk Chiefs' latest offseason rumblings. Logan Weber alongside JT Noah. You're listening to After Hours on 96.5 The Fan. Talking about the news of the day in the NFL. Saquon Barkley signing a 2-year extension with the Eagles. Devontae Adams being cut by the Jets. Had some conversation, you know, where could these guys possibly end up? Somebody in the text line said, were people not paying attention? Carroll and Wilson are supposedly on the outs. Last I heard, did I miss something? Yeah, it sounds like their relationship has been fairly rocky. There was some conversation that they may have reconciled, but I don't think that the relationship is in any sort of state where, like, Russell Wilson would jump at the chance to go back to Vegas or to go to Vegas and play for Pete Carroll again. I don't think that that's entirely plausible, at least not in my view. I think the Raiders have better options than Russell Wilson. Again, that's just my opinion on the matter. Someone said Bucks or Patriots. Yeah, the Bucks could be a possibility for Devontae Adams. You know that Chris Godwin is a free agent, so his likelihood of going back to Tampa isn't incredibly high, especially with the injuries that he's dealt with in his career. You've got Mike Evans. You give Baker Mayfield another weapon in a pretty down division there in the NFC South that the Buccaneers have done a good job of winning the last couple of years, despite the fact that they haven't been a true, you know, contender in the NFC year over year. Someone said bonus points for using archetype. Thank you. I mean, admittedly, I don't know. It's just the way my brain works that I have a tendency to throw out 10-cent words when a penny one will do. Just seems to happen sometimes. The other kind of interesting storyline in the NFL today is that a trade took place between the Los Angeles Rams the Rams trading a piece to the Chicago Bears. Guard Jonah Jackson is being sent to Chicago from Los Angeles in exchange for a 6th-round pick. Now, the deal is not official, right, until March 12th, which is the start of the new league year. But Jackson has started 61 games over the course of 5 years with the Rams. He was a Pro Bowler in 2021. Played for the Detroit Lions, where he was drafted by, where he played for them for 4 years, then spent the last year with the Rams. Now he could be reuniting with Ben Johnson in Chicago, who was his offensive coordinator in Detroit during his 4-year stretch with the Lions. He signed a 3-year, $51 million contract with the Rams in March of last year and is scheduled to make about $17.5 million in salary. So by trading him away, that helps their salary cap situation. They've restructured things with Matthew Stafford. Again, I think this is another sign that points towards the possibility of Cooper Kupp coming back to Los Angeles, because I don't think there's any other team out there that's going to be like, oh yeah, we'll pay that exorbitant amount of money for a guy like Cooper Kupp. I'm not surprised to see this move, and it kind of coincides with the way that the NFL is going nowadays. Like, a 6th-round pick for a guard of Jonah Jackson's caliber. But yesterday we saw Deebo Samuel go for a 5th. Right, NFL teams are in such a sad state of affairs with their salary cap nowadays that they're having to offload talented players because they simply cannot afford to keep them around and pay guys who have expiring contracts coming up.
Yeah, and it felt like they were on the up and out regardless of the contract, because when Lynch was asked about, and he came out forward and said, yeah, we're going to take up and kind of accept and pursue letting Deebo find a trade partner. So it kind of felt like both of them were mutual agreements, like, hey, maybe it's better off that we go our separate ways.
Yeah, no question about it. This is an interesting story. This one came out just a little bit ago, actually. Raiders defensive end Max Crosby, on an episode of his podcast this week, said, quote, "I think with all the doubt and negativity around Rodgers, he's going to have a big year, and I hope it's in our town. That would be legendary." So Pro Bowl defensive end Max Crosby is advocating for Aaron Rodgers to come to Las Vegas.
Of course he is. They need a quarterback. He knows they need a quarterback to compete with this division. So he's trying to find the best free agent quarterback out there. Now, is he the best free agent? I would say you go after Sam Darnold, and that would be a better suit than Aaron Rodgers.
I would agree. Maybe Rodgers is a cheaper option for the Raiders if the Raiders want to utilize the best player available philosophy in this draft. I believe the Raiders are sitting at 3, correct? I think they've got the number 3 pick in this draft. So you're likely out on the Cam Ward sweepstakes. Even though I don't think the Titans are taking Cam Ward at number 1, they're either going to trade back and somebody's going to trade up and take Cam Ward in front of them, or they will take the best player available at 1, which is seemingly Abdul Carter out of Penn State, and then sitting there at number 2 with an opportunity to take Cam Ward.
The Raiders are at 6.
Oh, Raiders are at 6. Forgot about that. You've got the Cleveland Browns, who would seemingly take Cam Ward at number 2. So, and then, you look at the Giants at 3. You've got the Patriots 4, Jacksonville at 5, Raiders 6.
So those two, we know Patriots and Jags won't be taking the quarterback.
Right, because the Patriots have Drake May, and the Jags already have Trevor Lawrence on that massive deal that they signed him to after the playoff run a couple of years ago. So they won't take a quarterback. I think that your risks, right, your dangers are the Titans, the Browns, and the Giants to take a quarterback ahead of you.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Those three, I would say Browns and Giants for sure are going to take a quarterback. Titans, I just don't know what they're going to do yet. Like, it's kind of up in the air what they want to do with number 1. They could trade it. They could go and get the best player available and the Penn State edge rusher, or they could go quarterback.
And if you're going to take a quarterback and you've got your pick of the two of them, take Cam Ward.
Please take Cam Ward.
In my view, Cam Ward is the best quarterback in this draft. I think if you're the Raiders, though, why not get Rodgers and then wait a year to take a quarterback? Because I think next year's quarterback class is better than this year's quarterback class, at least on the surface, the way it appears right now. I know a lot of people are lumping Arch Manning as the de facto QB1 in next year's draft class. I'm not entirely bought into that yet because somebody's got to prove it to me in a lot of ways. We may talk a little bit more NFL as we go along here on tonight's program, but I want to hit a break here. Coming up, we are going to be visiting with Jordan Foote, longtime writer for the Chiefs and the Royals, talking about the latest offseason rumblings for the Chiefs and maybe talking a little bit about what we've seen from the Royals so far this spring. That's coming up here on the other side of the break. You're listening to After Hours with Logan Weber and producer JT Noah on 96.5 The Fan. Teams all across the National Football League making moves. Commanders trade for Debo, Jets cut Devontae Adams, Bears trade for Jonah Jackson. What's the latest with the Kansas City Chiefs? A question to be asked, and who better to answer those questions for us than Jordan Foote, who is on the line with us right now. Jordan, what do you make, first of all, of the last couple of days in the National Football League? You know, I mentioned those first couple of deals there, as well as the Bengals putting T. Higgins on the tag. What are you seeing across the league at the moment?
I usually, Logan, am pro player for the most part, and I like when franchise players kind of stick it to their team and put them under the gun. And Joe Burrow kind of did that with the Bengals and was like, hey, if we have the resources to bring back Trey Hendrickson, bring back T. Higgins, pay Jamar Chase, all of that, we need to do it. And he's been very open about the Super Bowl window being his whole career. Matthew Stafford's camp getting to talk to other teams and appropriate his value with the Rams. Big fan of all of this. Debo getting moved, even though I think Debo might not classify as a star-level player at this point in his career. We'll see about that. Just really big fan of the movement pre-free agency. Hasn't been anything crazy. Interested to see where Devontae ends up, and I think that the Aaron Rodgers landing spot will probably have something to do with that. Not banking on a Raiders reunion for Devontae, but you guys making a good point about that. could be fun. And we haven't even got to the biggest part of the offseason calendar, and that's coming up with the opening of that legal tampering period and then official free agency when the new league year opens up.
Yeah, the new league season begins March 12th. And, of course, the biggest stories for the Kansas City Chiefs last week, and it's been a while, we hadn't had a chance to talk about those yet. Firstly, the franchise tag being put on Trey Smith. A lot of people, including Nate Taylor of The Athletic, saying that more than likely that means a long-term extension is coming. Are you of that belief as well, or do you believe that Trey Smith may be playing on the franchise tag for the Chiefs this season?
No, I think I'd be very, very shocked at this point if the Kansas City Chiefs traded Trey Smith or if he played on the franchise tag. And obviously, right now, they are above the salary cap number by about $18 million, according to Over the Cap, and some of those estimates are varying depending on the site. The NFLPA has their report. SpotTrack has their report. But still, either way, the Chiefs are above the cap right now. They are over it by quite a bit. The lever that I think they will pull, and everyone thinks they will pull, is the Patrick Mahomes restructure. And he has a 32 and I think roughly a quarter million roster bonus that can be pulled. He has 16 and a half million in base salary that can be dug into. That can get them to positive cap space by quite a bit. Chris Jones' money can be dumped into. Travis Kelce can have his money messed with, although I doubt that happens. Joe Tooney can be extended. Juwan Taylor, if they wanted to tie themselves to him for another year, they could make some money there. Of course, also a Trey Smith extension. You get that done, I think the year one cap hit isn't going to be anything too crazy that can alleviate some concerns. So a long road to a short path. I'd say 90%. I'm confident that something ends up getting done. I'd be very shocked at this point if he ended up playing on the tag just because of the remnants of last offseason and how things went with Orlando Brown even before that. And last year, Majarius Sneed, the Chiefs carrying that cap hit longer than just about anyone expected them to, kind of limited their spending. So if they want to be players in free agency at all, I think that they can get minimal space from the Mahomes restructure to get them below the cap. But if they really want to get something going and lock up their best free agent on the market right now, got to get something done with Trey Smith.
Not to steal from Netflix here, but it appears we will get a last dance of sorts with Travis Kelce, who announced he'll be back next year for what is presumably his final season in the NFL. I know you and I talked about it weeks ago that both of us believed that this was coming, that he would be returning next year. What do you make of the decision ultimately, and what does the production for Travis Kelce next season in your mind look like, best case scenario?
Yeah, so Logan, when he signed his deal last offseason and they adjusted his contract, he carried that big roster bonus that triggered at a certain point this offseason a $19 million cap number for 2025. And just about everyone thought, okay, this is going to be setting up for an exit plan. Or if he wants to play another year, maybe they extended out another one, they add a void year. Like, the Chiefs could absolutely mess with his money a little bit and create some cap space without really sacrificing long-term flexibility. But if he plays on it, if nothing changes greatly, I would expect this to be Travis Kelce's final season. I would not be shocked at all if it was Travis Kelce's final season. At this point, if he plays beyond 2025 and I guess into 2026, assuming they make the playoffs, that would be a shock if he kept it going after that. So you look at the production this past season, 97 catches, 130.
Oh, Jordan, you there? I think we may have lost you there for a minute.
There he is. Are we back?
Yep. Sorry, I lost you there for a second.
Well, we'll blame the storm and the weather rolling through Kansas City.
That is a fair blame.
Kelce's numbers on a per-target basis, and he got more targets, he had a few more receptions than the year prior, just kind of jumped down. He was doing less damage further down the field. The shimmies and the shakes and the making people miss wasn't there. The average depth of target wasn't there. That was probably the baseline, the 800 yards, the 3, 4, 5 touchdowns. Can he do that again in 2025 if he plays 16, 17 games? I think that answer is absolutely, but I've been asked this question a few times this week. Is there more to a last dance? Like he told Pat McAfee, getting in the best shape of his life. I find that hard to believe as he's 35 going on 36. So what you saw from Travis Kelce down the stretch of this season, probably going to be what you get from him moving forward. But if you have Rashee Rice back in the fold for, let's say, most of the 2025 campaign, you have year two Xavier Worthy, maybe you bring back Hollywood Brown or you draft a tight end or a wide receiver. I wouldn't be shocked at all if Kelce was able to replicate that and still go out with some dignity, a good playoff run, and all that good stuff.
So taking a look at, you know, some of the other decisions that need to be made or not for this Chiefs team, we heard earlier today via Nate Taylor that it's unlikely that Justin Reed returns to this team next year. When you look at the other guys who are approaching free agency for this Chiefs team, a la Derek Nnadi, Charles Aminihou, Nick Bolton, and others, who are some of the names that you see the Chiefs bringing back next season? And who are some of the guys that the Chiefs are going to have to find replacements for either via free agency or through the NFL draft here in about a month?
So looking on over the cap, and they're nice enough to sort by snap percentage, Trey Smith at the top, Justin Reed, Nick Bolton, all of those guys playing 87%+ of the snaps. I think they end up with one of those players, and it's probably going to be Trey Smith at this point. If I had to go second, most likely probably Nick Bolton, although I've been hearing that he's asking a bit more than I and several other people anticipated. On the open market, Turk Wharton coming off of a career season, he's going to cash out. I think he's pretty much as good as gone unless his market is just really suppressed. Then you go down the list, the pair of wide receivers, Juju Smith-Schuster and Mecole Hardman, I could see them bringing back one of them. Maybe you throw Justin Watson in that group. You pick maybe Hollywood Brown. It's hard to see him getting a bigger or longer deal than he got last offseason when it was 1-for-7 with some incentives lumped in. Then you kind of look at the left tackle spot. Is it DJ Humphreys coming back for another year? That seems to be, if not likely, at least like a 50-50 shot, and he seems motivated for it. The Chiefs obviously have the need. You can go split hairs with, you know, some restricted free agents like Nazi Johnson. Matt Ariza, I believe, is an exclusive rights guy. That's a no-brainer to bring him back for another year. Probably Mike Pinnell. That's going to be pretty cheap, I believe, and they need the defensive tackle depth. Nnadi is interesting to keep an eye on. Again, Hardman is interesting to keep an eye on. And Omenihou, if you had to rank tiers, you have the top tier, you have the bottom tier rotational snap guys. Omenihou is kind of in between. You add in the ACL injury, how he looked upon returning. If I had to pick one, let's call it X factor, free agent on each side of the ball, offense would be Hollywood Brown with his injury situation and his lack of production coming back. And then Charles Aminihou on defense, because his market is probably the toughest besides Bolton to get a pretty good read on.
All right, I got a couple more questions here for you. The first one, it's a conversation that is increasing all over social media. I'm sure you've seen it on Twitter. Luther Burden is falling down draft boards. If you are the Kansas City Chiefs and you're sitting there at 31 and he is still available for the Chiefs to take, what would you make of that decision if Luther Burden is picked up by the Chiefs there at the end of round one?
I think it'd be perfectly fine. And the Chiefs really at this point, and I think it's difficult because they won't be huge spenders in free agency, I don't think. You can't go into the draft expecting to get a 2022 level haul when, A, those odds are just low to begin with, and B, you have fewer picks to use. So the Chiefs probably won't be doing a ton of moving up on the board or going up to get their guy at left tackle or anything like that. Luther Burden had a inspiring combine. I think the size is good enough to be kind of the prototype for what the Chiefs are looking for. And sure, there's going to be overlap with the Rashee Rice skill set and kind of the behind and near the offensive line type stuff that the Chiefs like to do at wideout. But they so obviously are not going to get Tet McMillan from Arizona. I don't think they're going to get Golden from Texas, who had a really good combine. You're kind of stuck between, do you wait and get one of the Iowa State kids, Higgins or Noel? Do you maybe take a chance on Isaiah Bond and reunite him with Xavier Worthy? Burton would make a ton of sense regardless of the local tie, and it would probably make people happy there. He's a player that you asked me, let's say, 6 months ago or coming into his final season at Mizzou, I never thought he'd be available when the Chiefs picked, and then the season unfolded how it did. You know, his stock just doesn't seem to be there. And the Chiefs, if he's there at 31, would be pretty smart, I think, to capitalize on that.
Final question I've got here, and I saw you put something on Twitter about it here a little bit ago. We talked about it earlier in the program. The end of an era around the horn, closing, is being canceled effective May 23rd. What was your immediate reaction to that news? I know that you and I are around the same age. Both of us, you know, our formative years were placed a lot of watching Around the Horn and PTI leading into SportsCenter every day, Monday through Friday, when we were kids.
Yeah, no, 1,000%. I tuned in earlier, and you hit the nail on the head regarding you're 27, I'm 26, like getting home from school, having the breakdown of like PTI and Around the Horn, and you're leading into SportsCenter, and then you're watching for the top 10, and they have a rerun, and you watch it again anyway. You wake up early the next morning, you watch it again before school. Back when I think ESPN was in its prime, and maybe there's some nostalgia there, but I also think it really was. That was one of the premier programs, and me and my friends would have our kind of mock Around the Horn kind of debates and give each other points and stuff like that and chit chat. So it's very sad. I think that the media landscape, and another point you made of when you're immersed in it so much every day and it's kind of your job, you don't spend quite as much time, or the time's just a bit more valuable with how you consume. And it was never a question to use some of that time, some of that currency on Around the Horn. So it's going to be sad when they leave, and luckily we have, you know, some more episodes before then, before May 23rd hits. But the end of an era, and 2+ decades, basically our whole lives tied up in a show that it's going to be sad to see cut short.
Yeah, man, almost 5,000 episodes before its runtime effectively ends on May 23rd. Jordan, appreciate you carving out some time here tonight to talk a little Chiefs. I'm sure we'll talk more and more about it here as we get deeper into the offseason. Enjoyable as always, my man. Enjoy your night. Stay safe out there with all this weird weather that we're going to be getting here already now and into the next couple days.
Yep, likewise. Thanks a lot, man.
Appreciate it. That is Jordan Foote, longtime writer covering the Chiefs, covering the Royals, does a phenomenal job. He is as on the button with this stuff as you can possibly be. 913-586-7965 is our number. We'll take a break here and come back and wrap up hour number two quickly here. This is After Hours. Logan Weber alongside producer for tonight's show, JT Noah. This is your home for Kansas City sports, 96.5 The Fan. Big thank you to Jordan Foote for joining us, talking a little Chiefs off season, what the plan looks like now that Trey Smith is on the tag, likelihood of a long-term extension, what does Travis Kelce's outlook for next year look like? Somebody in the text line says, is it fair to say that Travis came in this season in the worst shape he has ever been in, and if he can lose a few pounds, he can be that dude again? I think he could be closer to what we saw from him maybe in 2022, 2021, but I don't think we're ever going to get back to the level that he was at before. I mean, he came in this past season a little bit differently than we've seen from him in the past. I think even if he did get into the best shape of his life, right? Even if he showed up to training camp 6'5", 230 with 4% body fat, I don't think it's the same Travis Kelce that you saw at the beginning of the Mahomes era. I don't think you're ever getting back to that at this point. He's 35 years old. He'll be 36 at a point next season. I just don't think he can be that dude again. But maybe he can be 90%, 85% of that dude. He was probably closer to 70 or 75% of that dude, quote unquote, last year. So I don't know. I think it's going to be an interesting storyline to follow. We should all just be thrilled by the fact that Travis is coming back for next season, because he can still provide you something.
Even safety blanket, just that safety blanket on a third down. Hey, guess what? 3rd and 2. Here we go. A little flat route to Travis. Yeah. He'll find a way to get open in the zone.
And you've got Xavier Worthy back next year. You'll have Rashee Rice back at some point next season, right? He's going to have the suspension to contend with. I think that that is absolutely coming at the beginning of this next year. You're probably going to get another wide receiver, probably in the draft, I would say. So you'll have wide receivers to pair alongside Travis, where it's not going to have to be Travis every single play as the number one option anymore. You had to have that last year. Hopefully that's not the case this season. 913-586-7965. A lot more to talk about here. We've got some Royals baseball, some MLB news. We've got college basketball news to catch you up on. We've also got a story that is just continuously getting stranger and stranger, and that is the Dallas Mavericks. The Dallas Mavericks and the city of Dallas are in purgatory since they traded away Luka Doncic. We'll talk about that coming up here in hour number 3 of the program here tonight, After Hours with Logan Weber and JT Noah. This is your home for Kansas City Sports, 96.5 The Fan.